With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. St. Maud's in Iron County is expanding the outreach of its woodworking program called the Sloyd Experience. WXPR first featured St. Maud's in an episode of We Live Up Here in 2023. WXPR's Katie Thorson caught up with the founder to learn how the program is growing.
St. Maud's in Iron County started with Carl Zinsmaster converting the old church into a makerspace. It then started offering the Sloyd experience to kids in the area. Sloyd is an education system developed in Finland in 1865 and is still widely used in Scandinavian countries. It's a series of woodworking projects. Each one introduces a new skill and gets progressively harder.
That stuff's become the heart and soul of it all, and we decided to make that officially the heart and soul of it all.
So much so that Zinsmaster applied, and St. Maud's is now a nonprofit educational organization. It recently received a $33,000 grant from the American Scandinavian Foundation so that more kids can get involved in the program. Zinsmaster says the recommended rate for Sloyd classes is $30 per kid per class. Because the Gogebic Range area is lower income than other areas of the country that offer the Sloyd experience, Zinsmaster has only been charging $10 per kid per class. The grant helps make up that difference, so St. Maud's can afford to offer 9 classes per week.
My goal was to make it as accessible as possible. I want everybody that has any interest in coming by to be able to come in and take classes and not have just the price tag be the barrier.
Zinsmaster has been able to pay some instructors, train some more, and improve the facility to have more kids in class at one time. He's meeting with local school districts and hopes to collaborate more with them in the future. St. Maud's has also been doing a lot of work with Iron County 4-H and the Superior Homeschool Co-op. Zinsmaster believes the kids have been so invested in Sloyd because it's something tangible, especially after having to do all their learning through a screen during the peak of COVID.
You're able to work directly with your hands, with tools and materials to produce something that's your own, that you've got ownership of, that you can take pride in, and that's tangible, right? Something that you can keep.
St. Maud's is still a makerspace and offers different classes for adults like spoon carving and knife making. We have a link to learn more about its offerings at WXPR.org. Just look for this article. Katie Thorson, WXPR News.
Deep cold raises the risk for a number of health concerns, particularly heart attacks. Dr. Daniel Krause, an Aspirus Healthcare cardiologist, says there are several ways the cold strains your system.
Number one, it does cause a significant narrowing or constriction of the arteries that we call vasoconstriction. And so less blood flow gets to the heart and other tissues, making people who are at risk for any kind of heart attack more likely to suffer symptoms. Also, is very hard on people with lung disease.
Those at the biggest risk are people with a previous history of heart disease.
So if you have known plaque in your heart arteries, if you have known heart failure, or you have significant underlying lung disease, cold weather really is not the time to try and push yourself. You should be taking it easy, listening to your body. If you feel symptoms, back off or warm up.
Dr. Krause says to call for help quickly if you recognize signs of a heart attack like chest pain, shortness of breath, pain radiating to the arm, neck, or jaw, or cold sweats and lightheadedness. Support for local health coverage on WXPR is brought to you in part by a grant from the Rhinelander Health Foundation. Waves on the Great Lakes could be turned into electricity. Researchers are looking at how to harness those forces. Mike Moen reports.
It's that time of year when a strong winter storm might produce giant waves along Lake Superior shorelines that aren't frozen over. Minnesota researchers are looking at how to harness those forces and turn them into usable energy. Superior's waves can sometimes top out at 10 to 15 feet in height before crashing into shore. University of Minnesota Duluth professor Craig Hill and his team have been looking into wave pattern data to know just how powerful they can be. According to the school, additional work will focus on deploying efficient devices that convert wave energy into storable electric energy. Hill says the Great Lakes region is a good testing lab.
We occasionally get these big storms where we could, if the technologies were out there, we could power tens of thousands of homes from the waves in those storms.
Hill says one challenge is that Great Lakes waves are more intermittent compared to coastal areas on either side of the U.S. He says those regions are seeing acceleration of this type of work, but notes Superior can still be an ally in the movement, especially for testing. He adds if the technology is perfected, Waze could be one of the many sources used in the transition away from fossil fuels. Climate change is resulting in less ice cover on Lake Superior. Hill says they can take that unfortunate impact and turn it into an opportunity.
That has a big impact on the wave conditions. It has a big impact on the coastlines around the Great Lakes. And so there might be opportunities to test out the devices year-round in the coming future here on Lake Superior.
And Hill says securing enough research funding is another challenge. And before this technology is turned into a commercial-scale option, experts will have to ensure fish, aquatic mammals, and shorelines aren't negatively impacted. I'm Mike Moen.
The Bitcoin-friendly administration of President-elect Donald Trump and an expanding lobbying effort in state houses could bring a cryptocurrency policy blitz in 2025. Together, they could push states to become more crypto-friendly and more public pension funds and treasuries to buy cryptocurrency. Proponents of the uniquely volatile commodity argue that it's a valuable hedge against inflation, similar to gold, but the risks are significant. In May, the State of Wisconsin Investment Board became the first state to invest when it bought $160 million worth of shares in two ETFs, or about 0.1% of its assets. It later scaled back that investment to $104 million in one ETF as of September 30th. For WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting.